Thank you. All right, this morning I'm going to speak. Children, you may go to your classes. Thank you. I'm going to speak on the recent world events. Maybe some of you do not quite understand what is happening, but what is the spiritual significance. And therefore, I'd like to entitle this morning message as The Significance of Recent World Events. And the text I'm going to take from the Bible is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. If you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, I'm going to read from verse 5. Now, when I read this passage, just take note, it is a prophecy from Jesus to the Jewish people regarding the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem. But at the same time, he's talking about also the coming destruction of the world before his second coming. So you just take note of what I've just said. So when we read, you kind of be more alert and more discerning. And then later on, when I deliver the sermon, it will be, you can understand it better. So let me read verse 5. Luke chapter 21 verse 5. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donation, he said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which no one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but what? When will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and rumors, or rather commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in the various places, and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay your hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your heart not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. And they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your soul. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by army, then know that its desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon these people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And also on the earth, distress of nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them in parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourself that summer is now near. So you also, when you see the things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, your Holy Spirit will illuminate these words to us. And as we look at the recent world events, Lord, you speak to us. What is the message of those events? So I pray, Father, you soften our heart and you open our eyes that we may see. Lord, you prepare your people, prepare their hearts, prepare their ears, that they may be receptive to what has been said, and they will do the appropriate things. Because your word say, take heed of this word. And so, Lord, we pray that this morning, that you anoint your servant to speak clearly, simply, but in a very penetrating way. That you will touch the soul and the spirit. That you will do something in our life. That we will make that preparation. Not only for a short season, but we will be consistent and steadfast in our preparation. So that when the day comes, we will not be unprepared. That we can appear before you. That we will escape all those things that you mentioned. And that we will stand before you to be found to be that faithful and good servant of yours. So Holy Spirit, come to glorify the Father and the Son. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now in the passage that I just read, Jesus' disciple actually asked him when the Jerusalem temple was going to be destroyed. And so Jesus told them to look out for some signs and prepare for it before the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. Now it was a dual prophecy and it has double fulfillment. So the first prophecy was regards to the destruction of Jerusalem, its inhabitants and the temple on a local scale. And this came to pass in the year AD 70 when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the people and the temple. And then the rest of the Israelites were dispersed throughout the land, or rather throughout the world. And many believers who heeded Jesus' warning escaped the tribulation and the calamity. And the second destruction, or rather the prophecy, was about the destruction of the world before Jesus' second coming. And Jesus was actually ushering the destruction, or rather was using the destruction of Jerusalem as a replica to prophesy about the future. So what happened to Jerusalem on a local scale would later happen on a global scale before Jesus returned. And in this way, Jesus used history to preach, to teach a present-day Christian to look out for the signs and prepare for it before his return in power and glory to judge the world. Recently, you have witnessed and you have looked at some of the world events. And we would have noticed quite a few significant things have taken place. As a Christian, we have to ask ourselves, what are the spiritual significance of these recent world events? And this is the subject of my sermon today. Now, I would like to bring to our attention the conversation that took place between Jesus and the unbelieving scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 16. Now, it says that the verse 1 to verse 4, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and testing Jesus and asked that he will show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be a foul weather today, or bad weather today, or stormy weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. And they say, hypocrite, You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. In other words, the unbelieving Pharisee and Sadducee were able to discern the signs of the weather, but they cannot discern the signs of the time. Now, for Christians, God has already revealed to us many things in the Bible, if we bother to read and to study them, and we have the advantage to discern the sign of the times. Now, what are signs? Signs are just some significant phenomena with a prophetic message. And often God used signs and wonders to communicate with the people. And that is why Luke chapter 21 verse 25, he says, "Look out for the signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And also some signs on the earth." And Joel chapter 2 verse 31 and also Acts chapter 2 verse 20 says that the sun has to go dark and the moon must turn red before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now the great American, or rather the recent great American solar eclipse that happened on the 21st of August 2017 was no ordinary solar eclipse. This is a very special eclipse. And let me give you a few reasons why it is special. Now first, the total solar eclipse occurred exclusively coast to coast over the American continent. Since the last solar eclipse that took place in 1918, 8th of June. And that is about 100 years ago, to be precise, 99 years ago. Second reason, while many countries saw a partial solar eclipse, only USA could see a total eclipse. And the third reason is even very interesting. Another similar eclipse, total solar eclipse, will happen in 7 years' time on this American continent. Because of this reason, the eclipse is called the Great American Eclipse. However, it has many characteristics that are very concerning and disturbing for the world. And I call this prophetic messages. Let us look at the date and the time. The first sight of the total solar eclipse happened on the Oregon West Coast on the 21st of August at 17:16 universal time, and on the local time is 10:16. While the Oregon West Coast first experienced total darkness of solar eclipse at 10:16 local time, Jerusalem at the same time it was experiencing sunset. And in the Jewish calendar, a new day starts with a sunset. And so this sunset starts the first day of the month of Elul. Elul in the Jewish language means harvest. And so in the Jewish calendar, this day begins the day of repentance. And it begins to mark out a 40-day period of purification and cleansing. And it's to finish on the Yom Kippur, which is the holy day of atonement. And so in short, the sign of this eclipse is calling USA specifically and also to the world in general for repentance. Number two, it is also calling the church for repentance and purification to prepare for the coming harvest of the soul, because that month is the month of harvest. And so the next important observation is, when we study the path of the total solar eclipse, we will notice that the total solar eclipse marks out all the most prone earthquake region in the United States of America. Let me now explain. This is a chart of the United States of America produced by U.S. Geographical Survey, an organization that study very detailed or the earthquake zone of the United States of America. And on this chart, it actually plots out the most, what they call the highest hazard earthquake zone. And the highest would be a pink or a dark pink followed by a red. And then the rest are like not likely to have any earthquake. And so if you mark out the path of the total solar eclipse, it comes at the west coast of Oregon. And then it starts there and then it goes right through to the whole continent of the American continental plates. And it comes right to this particular spot. Now, if you chart out the most hazard earthquake region or zone, you have the pink and the red. You have one area which is stretches from the west coast of Oregon right down to the California west coast. And this region is called Cascadia. And then you have another one which is here. It's called Yellowstone. And the third area is called New Madrid, shown in this particular pink zone. And then you have another one, a small region called Southern Appalachian. And then the last is Charleston. So five most prone earthquake zone in the United States. Now, it is not a coincidental that when you trace the mark, or rather the region of, please don't, yeah, just put it there. When you trace the path of this particular solar eclipse, it marks out all the most prone earthquake zone in the United States of America. It looks like God is putting a fingerprint across those areas and he said, look out. So God is sending a very clear message. Expect to see more mega earthquake in the next 7 years in the American continent. Though we may have many earthquakes before, this unique eclipse path marking out all the earthquake zone is telling the message. The coming mega earthquake will be of a scale so destructive, the like of which we have never seen or experienced before. And just after I penned and wrote this sermon 2 days ago, the day after, the television flashed out a news that Mexico, which is on the American continental plate, experienced a mega earthquake of 8.4 on the Richter scale. And that is not it. May I add that more powerful earthquakes are yet to come to hit the America, United States of America. And as I said, there will also be a second total eclipse for the United States that will occur 7 years later. The number 7 is significant because in God's calendar of Christ's second coming in the book of Revelation, God sent a series of warning through the 7 seal, through the 7 trumpets, and through the 7 bowls of judgment. And therefore, God is giving, 7 is a number of fullness or completeness. God is giving full warning to the United States of America and also to the world in general. Therefore, these 2 solar eclipses of 7 years apart is a very targeted and a specific warning to the USA. Repent, or else God will do something more catastrophic. Why USA? Because USA is the current epicenter of the world commerce. The United States is currently the biggest economy of the world and the number one superpower. And though the satanic capital on earth is located in Babylon, which is present-day Iraq, the worldly Babylon system has infected all the capitals and cities of the world. And the Bible talks about the intoxicating wine of the Babylonian system. It is the materialism without morality, pleasure without purity, riches without righteousness, and lust without love. So the next important thing to note is the second solar eclipse falls on 8th of April 2024. And it also happens to fall on Nisan 1, which is the first day of the religious new year of the Jewish calendar. Why am I cross-referencing to the Jewish calendar? Because the Bible is a Jewish book. And that is why when you look at the prophetic calendar, not only you look at it from a Gentile, a non-Jewish point of view, you also have to go back to the historical settings of the Jewish culture and the calendar. And so the fourth message is this. God is about to quickly usher in something new. And Christ's second coming will usher in His new millennium rule on planet Earth. Now, I am not saying that Christ will come immediately after the second solar eclipse. But what I'm saying is His second coming is going to be sooner than most Christians think. And also, the two paths of the two, or the paths of the two total solar eclipses will mark out a cross point near where the two rivers meet, namely the Ohio River and the Mississippi River. When the two rivers merge to form a fork, as you can see on the diagram, the land is divided into three parts. Now, this is the path of the first solar eclipse, which happened a few weeks ago, 21st of August. And in 7 years' time, so it's coming from on the left and then goes to the right, west coast to the east coast. And the second solar eclipse is also on the American continents, and it comes from below, also from the west, and it goes up. And it marks a cross. By the way, Mexico is also part of the American continent, although predominantly it's the United States of America. And so it comes and it goes up and it marks a cross. This is the path that it crosses. And this is the place where the Mississippi River, which is here, it comes from here and it goes, flows down. Then this is the Ohio River. I'm just showing part of the river, not the whole river, where it merge and it becomes one river called the Mississippi River. And so this phenomenon is interesting because it in a way split the land into three parts. There are at least two scriptures in the Bible that talks about the land being divided into three parts after a mega earthquake. And the first is in Revelation chapter 16, which I'll read to you, and then the other one is Isaiah chapter 18, verse 7. I'll just read to you Revelation 16, verse 17 to verse 19. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there are noises and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and a great earthquake as had not seen since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell, and the great Babylon was remembered before God to give her cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The rivers forming a fork define the boundary of the three states, Missouri, Illinois, and Kentucky. My interpretation of the message of this particular sign is this. This is like a replica of what will happen in the very last days. I repeat, a replica. A super mega earthquake will happen in the United States either during this 7 year period or shortly thereafter. And the fifth message is a super mega earthquake will split some parts of the United States, causing some significant change of landscape. Now, I want to qualify here. I'm not making a prophecy here, but I'm making an educated biblical inference, which is one notch below a prophecy. And so, in short, the message to the United States is this: repent or else I will judge America. Now, this is not new, as it can be seen in the biblical story of Jonah. Let me give you the background story of Jonah. Biblical history is often a good inference of the future. God asked the prophet Jonah to preach to the city of Nineveh, asking them to repent. And Nineveh is present-day Mosul in the land of Iraq. But we know from the Bible that Jonah was a reluctant missionary to Nineveh because of the cruelty and the abuses committed by the Assyrian Empire then against the Jewish people. To cut the long story short, he became a runaway prophet. He didn't want to obey God, but through circumstances, he finally had to obey God and go to Nineveh to preach to them. And the Bible says the whole city of Nineveh repented. And this was no small feat. Imagine someone comes to the city of Perth and the whole city of Perth repented. 2 million people. Now, was it because Jonah was a very anointed and a powerful prophet? Only partly so. This was not the only reason. There were a few other reasons. Because a few years prior to Jonah preaching, God was already preparing the heart of the Nineveh people to receive this message of repentance. And so in the year 7633 BC, on the 15th of June, actually a total solar eclipse just passed over, just the north of the city of Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh was in awe to witness that daylight suddenly turned into darkness for a short period of time. And the fear of God struck their heart. And beside the solar eclipse, there were four other signs that put the fear of God in them. There was a civil war, a major revolt. There was severe military loss, second one. And third one, there was earthquake. And fourth, there was plague during the period under the reign of Ashur III. The problem with our modern generation is because of increased knowledge. When they witness a total solar eclipse, even coast to coast, even 7 years apart, they purely see it just as a spectacle to watch. Nothing more, nothing less for them. Not knowing that in such a special and unique solar eclipse, God is sending a strong message to the United States and the world in general. Just as in the days of Jonah, I submit to you that we will also see other signs. Number six, there will be major plagues, I call pandemic, that will be coming during this 7 year period or shortly after the 7 year period. Epidemic flu only kills about hundreds or thousands of people. Pandemic is a major deadly flu outbreak that will kill hundreds of thousands of people and even millions of people. This prediction is not new. Even the World Health Organization have given this warning a few years ago. In fact, the head of the World Health Organization, Dr. Margaret Chan, in the opening address to the 69th World Health Assembly in Geneva, 2016, in March, said that the world is facing unprecedented global health challenges and is ill-equipped to deal with a future pandemic threat. In that speech, she gave example of the Ebola outbreak in Africa. Took place in 2014 and 2015. I think many of us have forgotten. It started as an epidemic that killed about 11,000 people in Africa. And potentially, it could have become a pandemic then. The Ebola outbreak in the three African countries paralyzed the whole world with fear and travel constraint. If you remember, when I travel, I come back, I have to fill another card to declare and all those information. The world then was on the verge of panic. Fortunately, it subsided after 2 to 3 years. The problem with this deadly virus is it's a highly dynamic virus. As soon as you find a vaccination for a virus that is a new mutation because of a highly interconnected world. And on our shores, There is a potential virus outbreak that many doctors are very concerned. It is called chikungunya. Called chikungunya because it is a chicken flu and comes from the phrase, the chicken gonna gun you down. Yes, the chicken is going to gun you down. And it's called chikungunya. All right. Some Australian doctors think it is a matter of time before it comes to Australia. Because all the countries that are surrounding Australia have been inflicted with this virus infection already. And this associate professor, Sinana Yaki from ANU, an expert in infectious disease, says chikungunya suddenly came out of nowhere. He says it actually started in Africa 15 years ago and it has since swept India, Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea and the Pacific Islands with its own intense brand of fever, rash and crippling joint pain. And it can linger for weeks, months and sometimes longer. And so one by one all the countries have fallen and Australia is now being surrounded. And doctor thinks that it's just a matter of time before a new and crippling strain of virus establish a bridgehead on our shore. Now, it is not coincidental. If you look back into history, the last U.S. coast-to-coast eclipse was on June the 8th, 1918. I told you, 99 years ago. In that same year, a pandemic flared up all over the world, starting from 1918 to the year 1920. And in U.S. alone, 650,000 people were killed. The population then was small, much smaller compared with now. And in the world then, an estimated of 50 to 100 million people died during that pandemic. Is God telling us a similar message in this recent and coming Great American coast-to-coast solar eclipse? Often, God used historical pattern to teach and to prophesize about the future. You see this method being used in the book of Revelation. I've gone through this book with you. I don't have to repeat them. You see this in Luke chapter 21, the passage that we have just read. How God uses history, the destruction of Jerusalem and temple, and all the signs that came with that destruction, before that destruction, say that these signs will be repeated before His second coming. It is not coincidental that 2 weeks ago we witnessed a major catastrophe, Hurricane Harvey, hitting Texas in USA. Harvey became a Cat 4 hurricane on August the 25th, 4 days after the Great American Eclipse. And it made a huge landfall near Rockport, Texas, at a peak intensity. And as a result, a great inland flooding occurred in the greater Houston area. And meteorologists say that Hurricane Harvey was the most or the worst rainfall recorded in the history of USA. And it poured over 1 meter of water over a 4 day period, amounting to 20 trillion gallons of water. Now, note that the solar eclipse happened on the 21st and Hurricane Harvey struck Texas on the 25th. The number 21 is followed by 25th. Interestingly, when you read this opening passage, Luke 21, 25, it says, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon and in the stars, and also on the earth, distress of nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves rolling, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and in great glory. The then doesn't mean immediately, but rather it means that many years down the line. So it mentions the signs in the sun. The signs in the sun is solar eclipse. It mentioned about distress of nation. U.S., Cuba, and all the Caribbean islands, they were under distress. It mentioned the sea and the waves and the waters of the great deep. It sounds like Hurricane Harvey and the flooding and all the, you know, wave because of the hurricane. This is not just it. Because shortly after Harvey, we now witness Hurricane Irma. While Hurricane Harvey is classified as a Cat 4 storm, meteorology say, though Irma is Cat 5, it's only Cat 5 because that is the maximum classification they can allocate. They say, in reality, Irma is Cat 6. They need to come out with a new scale. And so, Irma, after bashing Cuba and some Caribbean island, now is heading towards Florida. I just read the CNN news. Currently, as I speak, Irma is bashing and hitting Florida. It has dropped to Cat 4, no doubt, but it is still a very destructive storm. And so, not only that, meteorology says that now they notice there are two more hurricanes slowly building up, Jose and Katia. But they don't know whether it's going to lose its strength or whether it's going to build up further. The biblical inference is already partially fulfilled since the great, so-called Great American Eclipse. So the next concern is the potential outbreak of war between U.S. and North Korea. When this happened, not only it will involve South Korea and Japan, China and Russia, the other two superpowers, will be dragged into the conflict. China has already officially said, if U.S. strike North Korea first, they will intervene in the war. Notice that 8 days after the solar eclipse, North Korea launched a missile that flew over Japan before crashing into the Pacific Ocean. North Korea, of course, had fired many missiles before, but they never flew over another nation. It's a highly provocative act. When the missile flew over your sky, you don't know whether it's just a test or it's going to attack you. So the chances of war are certainly very high. This over-the-sky of Japan missile test exasperated a situation that is already close to war. And shortly after, North Korea escalated the tension further by testing a nuclear bomb. And they claim it to be a hydrogen bomb. With two highly unpredictable, rash and egoistic presidents, President Trump and Kim Jong-un, the chances of war, accidental or otherwise, has increased dramatically. Did not Jesus say in Luke chapter 21, verse 9 that we just read, you will hear wars and commotion. Do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. It will not come immediately, but it will come many years down the track, which was not too long. Did not the book of Revelation, in the opening of the two seals, it mentions about the catastrophic wars and bloodshed before his second coming. Now, some of you say, oh, we always witness war for hundreds of years. If you can remember when I taught on the book of Revelation, it is like a ripple effect. It comes in wave. Wars break out over a few years, come down. And these things will intensify. It's like birth pangs. Remember? But birth pangs. And so the more I research into the happenings of the season, the more I feel a sense of awe. Besides war, there is also another possibility of an internal civil war in the United States. Because the United States has never been so divisive since the last civil war after the election of Donald Trump. The 2016 presidential election has split the country and the people into 50-50. With the signing of the many controversial presidential executive order, it has further polarized the nation. The situation has been further aggravated when President Trump recently chose not to condemn the neo-Nazi and the white supremacists after the Charlottesville demonstration incident. If not careful, an internal civil war may break out in the near future for USA. Now, besides those things that I mentioned to you, there are also a few other disturbing events. And I'd like to mention just two. First is the increased persecution of Christians. Over the next few years, Christians in the Western countries will experience increased persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. For people living in the Western world, having a Christian heritage, a Judeo-Christian culture, and a judicial system, many Christians cannot just imagine how persecution of Christians can possibly come. But with the recent debate on same-sex marriage, Christians are beginning to have a glimpse of what it means to be persecuted if you stand up for righteousness. In my previous sermon on same-sex marriage, I've highlighted that those Western countries who have legalized same-sex marriage, Christians there are beginning to experience intimidation, curtail of religious freedom and persecution. We in Australia are experiencing or about to experience the same thing. Even before the outcome of the same-sex plebiscite results are known, the same-sex activists, marriage activists, are persecuting Christians if they speak up on this issue. I give you three examples. First example, Pastor Margaret Court spoke against same-sex marriage a couple of months ago, and a few days later, the same-sex marriage activists mobilized 100,000 signatures asking the Australian Sports Authority to strip Margaret Court's name from the stadium that's named after her. Worse still, Google, the world organization, Google, we use Google so often, secretly renamed Google Map, renamed Margaret Court's arena as Yvonne Gelagun Arena in their Google Map. This is intimidation and bully. Second example. Recently, the Coalition of Marriage put up an advertisement featuring three mothers who share why they are against same-sex marriage. One of the featured mothers is Dr. Pansy Lai. She was inundated with phone calls and social media threats. And shortly after the broadcast, the Get Up Same-Sex Marriage campaigner gathered 500 over signature to petition for her name to be removed, struck off from the medical registrar, and bar her from as a practitioner, as a doctor. They tried to destroy her livelihood just because she stand up for godly and family values. Again, this is outright bully and intimidation. And the petition against Dr. Lai is not only a threat to her, but to any others who might try to voice their opinion. The message from them to Christians are clear. Agree on same-sex marriage or else we will intimidate and destroy you. Third example, a non-profit organization wanted to put up an advertisement on the community television channel to celebrate and honor fathers on Father's Day. It was just last week. The TV Regulatory Authority rejected the advertisement because it was deemed too political in the lead-up to the same-sex marriage poster vote. A simple Father's Day message, which was fine for so many years in the past, has now become a political statement detrimental to the cause of same-sex marriage. And do not take your vote too lightly, because it has serious adverse implication down the line if the yes vote goes through. implications in terms of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and the education of your children. You say, I'm children, I grow grown up. Your grandchildren as well. So there are some brochures behind talking about some of the implications in terms of the education of the children. You just grab a couple of copies from there. And second, concern that I have, introduction of wrist wearable or chip implants on your hand payment system. And for us Christian, we all know in the Bible that one day the Antichrist, the world dictator, is going to use this technology to control the world. Mind you, none of you shall ever try that technology. This is non-negotiable, brothers and sisters. Because once you do that, finish. You're off that list of the book of life. It's clearly written in the Bible. On reading this Bible prophecy, one find it quite incredible that Western country who value privacy will ever embrace this payment system. But some companies in Europe, in the United States, have already introduced this technology at the company level. And Sweden is well ahead in the introduction and the use of this technology. I will show you a video clip, and you will know what I'm saying after the sermon. And the way companies sell this technology to the people is convenience, a foolproof way of preventing fraud. And the chip implant under the skin of your hand, say, will let consumer pay at any retail terminal without a wallet, credit card, or a smart device. You can also use it as a card key to your office, your home, your computer, or it can act as an identification card to all the government services that you are receiving. Whether it's Medicare, Centrelink, or whatever it is. And they also sell this technology by saying that it can store your critical medical information. And therefore, in the event of emergency, the doctor who attends to you can readily access all your critical medical record. And they say that it can save your life. Don't be hooked into all those things. 2 years ago, 2015, May the 26th, it was reported in an Australian newspaper, The Australian, that the Visa and the University of Technology in Sydney have announced a partnership to explore the future of wearable technology, including the development of a new implanted chip device to make everyday transaction easier for the public. They conducted a survey, and 25% of the Australians are receptive to this technology involving human organic flesh if it means making payments easier. 25%, 2 years ago, are receptive to this idea. And now, I don't know, maybe it will even increase it to 50%. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, the day of Jesus' second coming is nearer than you think. And before His second coming, there will be great, great calamity and tribulation. It's going to come. It's for sure. But in this passage, Jesus offers hope. Because He says, there is a way of escape. But we must be counted worthy to escape all these tribulations and the snares. He mentioned it. How? Let me reread this verse to you, 34 to 36, Luke chapter 21. Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of life. And that they will come to you unexpectedly. It will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And so, don't be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of life. So, number one, do not be caught up with the things of the world. Are you, you know, caught up with those things? All the worldly things. Here's here say, do not be caught up with those things. Number two, take your spiritual life, your church life, seriously. Be on the ball, spiritually. I make it simple. Number three, be watchful. Be alert what's going on today. This morning's sermon is an update so that you will be watchful. You'll be alert what is going on. Lest you think that the world will just go on like this for the next 100 years. No, it will not. And then be prayerful. Your prayer life. Very simple. Take heed of Jesus' admonition. The Lord help us all that we will remain alert, watchful and prayerful all season. Not just when trouble comes. Now, before I close my sermon, I'm going to show you a video clip. This is from a TV channel in America. And it shows you about the chip implant that I'm talking about.
This company says... It's about to become the first in the U.S. to offer microchip implants to its employees. You heard that right. Microchip implants under the skin. Josh Rosenthal joins us live from just up the hall to explain this. He's in the building with us right now. Josh, what's this all about?
And that's right. So, Lindsay, just outside of the studio here, we've got a few of these vending machines. Now, we all know how these work, right? You walk up, you put your dollar in, you get your bag of chips. Well, as I learned today, these machines are quickly becoming very old-fashioned, and in fact, just how old-fashioned may surprise you. At Three Square Market in River Falls, a team of programmers designed software for break room markets, like this one. Believe it or not, this is the reason they're about to do this to more than 50 of their employees.
It's the next thing that's inevitably going to happen, and we want to be a part of it.
The concept is pretty simple. Just like how you can buy something nowadays using your phone, what if you could use a microchip inside your hand instead? Todd, you're going to show us how this could potentially work.
Yes. Basically, what this is considered is a break room market in an office complex. We'll come up, scan the item. We'll hit pay with credit card. And it's asking to swipe my proximity payment now. I'll hold my hand up, just like the cell phone, and it will pay for my product.
Instead of a credit card?
Correct. Hand. Because my microchip is now my credit card.
More than 53 Square Market employees are having them implanted starting next week. Not only can they buy stuff with them, they'll also be able to use the chips to get in the front door and log on to their computers. Each chip costs $300. The company's picking up the tab. The chip goes between your thumb and forefinger. And CEO Todd Westby says the data is both encrypted and secure.
So if I'm one of your employees and I've got this chip in my hand, you won't know, hey, Josh is slacking off, I can tell because I'm reading this chip?
No, there's no GPS tracking at all.
Employees here aren't required to get the chip. One of the ones choosing to do so, however, just so happens to be former North Star player and current Edina hockey coach, Kurt Giles.
If somebody told you back in the day when you're flying around the ice playing for the North Stars that you're going to have a chip implanted in your hand, you're going to use it to pay for stuff, you're going to use it to get in and out of buildings, what would you have told that person?
I probably would have thought a chip tooth or a chip of ice, but not a chip that has the technology that we're talking about today.
Okay, now. In case you're wondering, Lindsay, each one of these chips, it's about the size of a single grain of rice. It's tiny, just one little grain of rice. And now, get this. If you get one of these implanted into your hand and you want to get rid of it, you know how you do that? For real? They tell me you just pop it out.
It's almost hard to believe. Did they offer you one?
They did. They very much wanted me to come back next week when they're putting them in employees and get one. Still not sold, but I'm a little closer to being sold than I was when I walked in.
Faster from the vending machine.
Sure would.
All right, now we need to upgrade the vending machines.
Yeah, really.
All right, thank you, Josh. Sure. All right, this may be the first time a U.S. company is using the technology, but it's already being used in Europe. A company in Sweden offered more than 100 employees the opportunity to get those microchips earlier this year. The company Epicenter Stockholm says phone and internet browsing history poses more of a threat than the chips.
So, brothers and sisters, Jesus coming is nearer than you think. What the Bible say and prophesies will exactly come to pass. Can I get the musicians to come forward? But Jesus offers a way of escape. And when I close the meeting, I'm going to pray for the whole congregation that we will all be counted worthy to escape the calamity and the great tribulation. So, it's a very solemn message. It's a message to keep you up to date. Sometimes we laugh at these things and we don't think it will come in our generation. But certainly after watching the video clip, all this technology are already in the background. It's just waiting for one day to be implemented on a worldwide scale. Thank you. Shall we stand for the enclosing praise song?